Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the Coffee
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Teresa Ray Butler, and welcome to Cream City Classica. Tonight, we have Teresa B. Howell. She stopped by CCC to chat about that church life, y'all. And right now, I want to check the lines and see if we have her in the studio. Area code 919-919, Cream City Classica. Who's on the line?
It's me. It's Teresa.
Okay, girl. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Hey, okay. How you doing?
I'm blessed beyond belief. Yes. How about you?
I'm doing well, overcoming a little illness, but I'm glad to be among the living today, so it's all good.
There you go. Yes, indeed it is when you're among the land of the living. So when we're going to get into the show to talk about this book, we're going to guess that you're going to talk about the land of the living with the church life theme here. First, give us a little bit about you. How did you get into your writing journey? We always like to rewind and go back in time and figure out when did you find out you had a love affair with the pen.
Yeah, about that. So I had some trouble getting over my grandmother's death about 2 years ago. And so it was suggested to me by my mother-in-law. She told me, you know, why don't you start writing things down, kind of talk to her through, you know, paper or letters or whatever. And so I was like, huh? I don't know if I need to do that. But anyway, I started using it as a therapeutic tool, started writing little stories and things like that. And a year later, it popped into a novel. I don't know how it happened, but it just did.
So a series of letters to your grandmother on the other side somehow transcribed over into a complete novel?
A complete novel. Yep. It sure did.
Well, we always wonder if our writers, guests who are authors, if they usually write things that reflect from their own life. So you've already answered one of our questions. But are there other elements of your life that are involved in this book?
Why, of course. Maybe teeny bits of pieces. Can't really give it away because then people will figure it out. But being in the church, all of my life, it wasn't hard to write about some of the things that I've witnessed over the years. So putting it all together, talking about the struggles of going to church and what people struggle with concerning faith, it was an easy topic. But I added a little twist with it. It's not just about your faith and getting to know the Lord. It has some mystery and some spice in it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
My novel.
Well, let's talk a little. When you I had a struggle coming up because I'm mixed. My mother was Methodist Catholic, and my father, it was a Baptist Catholic thing, and it was the battle between the two because I would go to these different churches and witness different kind of, you know, sermon and different understanding of scripture, and that was the battle for me. That is a battle that I can openly talk about when I talk about my own particular church life, and I can bring quite a few up, but is there a particular church life battle or issue or concern that you can openly talk about aside from the book, or even if it relates to the book?
Yeah, so I had the same kind of relationship with church that you had. My parents were Baptist. I went to a Catholic school, and the babysitter that I spent most of my time with went to a Pentecostal church. So you can imagine how on Sunday I might be with the Pentecostal church in the morning, the Baptist in the evening, and then I had Mass Wednesdays with my school. So it was very, very confusing. And there are a lot of battles with the church concerning faith and staying committed and things of that nature that I've witnessed. But I think the most talk about different denominations, the most that I've seen a lot of drama is the African American churches, whether it be Catholic, Baptist, or Pentecostal. Sorry, but I just got to tell it. I'm not saying that Caucasian churches don't have issues, because I've been to those too, but it is a struggle in some African American churches with some of the things that go on. So, and that's any
denomination. I don't think you.
Go ahead. I'm
right.
Sorry.
I don't think you have to be sorry for saying something. You know, you definitely don't have to apologize for that, because I've seen that same truth. And I found myself as a very young girl wanting to go to non-denomination churches. You know, like, okay, I just don't want to, you know what I mean? I don't want to get involved with Who Shot John. And I don't mean that in a literal sense. I just wanted to be peacefully serving.
Well, that's one thing about my book.
I thought about it after I said it, like, okay.
Yeah, there might be a Who Shot John in it. But it's the truth. You know, with the smaller churches, you know, it's more gossip and it's more community closeness or tight-knit. Your grandma went there, your great-grandma went there. It's always some historical relationship with some of the churches. And, yeah, you get to hear a lot of things that you might not or should not be hearing as a child. So I was a witness to a lot of stuff. That's all I can say. A lot of stuff. So, yeah.
What do you think the church stands for in today's community, when you have mega churches who have billions of dollars coming through, but then you still have people who they're still riding in with the offering to let them know that they're losing their home and getting their lights cut off, and is there anything that they can do, things of this nature?
I think the church of today has taken it to a whole nother level of using churches as businesses more so than what they used to be. They used to be that comfort, that place where you can go, where you can just get on the altar and pour it all out and just walk away and feel a lot better about your situation. But these mega churches, you don't always get that opportunity, because the pastor doesn't know you. You know, he has about 20 ministers, and you're assigned to one based upon alphabetical order. and things of that nature. So it makes it very difficult to have a relationship with people. And then the door revolves so often with membership. You know, you stop going there because you might feel you don't have that closeness, and then somebody else comes, and then somebody else comes. So it's a very, I didn't enjoy megachurch. I love the music part. But as far as the fellowship, it was just way too many people for me. Because here where I stay in Durham, there is a particular megachurch that is very popular that also has some mega sister churches in Massachusetts that I know the family. And they're huge. It's like 3,000-4,000 people. And I knew this pastor when I was young, but, you know, now that he's in a megachurch, you know, you can't reach out and talk to him. You send an email, you might get a response in 3 weeks. And Lord forbid if you're suicidal, because they ain't getting it. So it's just,
yes,
it just makes it
has
very difficult.
Phenomenal.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
How some of these, it's almost quite somewhat of a phenomenon how some of the mega churches operate under celebrity status. I mean, and that goes from the preacher all the way down to the deacon and the usher, you know, like you can walk around and hand out business cards and, you know, I'm a usher for so-and-so, you know, mega church, celebrity church, and get through some doors just because of it. Do you feel like I feel that some of these things may have taken away from the personal relationship that people have with religion, not just your church, just with religion?
Absolutely. There's no way that, well, I don't know. I'm speaking from my experience, so I can't say it for everybody else. But I just feel I have a closer relationship with God in my little bitty church with our 40 members or so, or however many members we have, because I can connect to God a little bit better in that format. Now, I can't say that I like all the drama that may be connected with the smaller churches, but I really try to keep my focus on God, kind of avoid all the other things that's going on around me. And that seems to work for me. Some people are not that strong. They can't, you know, they got to be in something. They got to listen to Who Shot John. But I just really try to focus on why I'm there, because, you know, time is so precious. You don't want to go and sit in a two-hour service and you don't get anything out of it. So that's how I feel about it. Like I said, I've been in the mega church and I tried it, but it didn't do anything for me. It was just too many people.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think a person can get through the Monday through Saturday and not come to church and use church as an emotional garbage can, whether your church be a mega church and you get everything you need out of your mega church or your small church online? And we'll talk about that next after this. But how do you think that a person can develop the relationship, aside of all the craziness that we have today that involves technology and business, church-minded aspect, and just have that quality?
Well, you have to build that relationship up. That's between you and God, Monday through Saturday. That relationship shouldn't just be built on Sunday. Sunday should not just be the dedicated day if that's what you're trying to do. If you use it as an emotional dump, eventually you're going to get to the point where Monday you're going to be calling on them, Tuesday you're going to be calling on them. It may take a slow process, but you're going to start to realize that that emotional dump is helping you on Sunday to get through the rest of the week, and you'll start appreciating it and then worshiping God on your own. But it's a process. There's so many people, and especially living down here in the Bible Belt, there's so many people that go to church just because it's something to do. It's, you know, it's tradition, and this is the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, I don't have anything against online churches and programs like that, or, you know, TV programs, Creflo Dollar, all that other good stuff. I think it's I think it's okay to, based upon, you know, you might have a job to where you work second shift and you're not able to, or first shift on Sundays and you're not able to make a service. So I think the way technology is coming out right now is making it more convenient and more widespread for people to actually worship God. And I think that's a good thing.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to cut to a commercial, and we're going to come right back with Teresa B. Howell coming to CCC to chat about that church life. Is that okay, Teresa?
That's okay.
Okay, we'll be right back. Teresa B. Howell on CCC. We will be right back right after this commercial.
The Church Gal crew is leading the way to salvation at Mount Zion Holiness Church. Feisty Natalia Freeman is the head of the crew, rebellious and outspoken. She has no problems challenging the church status quo. Years later, however, her loss of faith will tragically impact her life. Michelle Hanks, a country girl from a hardworking farm family, is the peacemaker and soul of the crew. Although struggling with self-confidence, she is wise beyond her years and can't wait to escape the farm life and find success, even if it costs her soul. Missy Jones, the heart of the crew, has the face of an angel and a voice sent from heaven. A pastor's daughter raised in the church, Missy loves the ministry and her place in it. But the flesh is tempting, especially when it comes in the form of sexy church musician and Mount Zion playboy, Tommy. In spite of her dedication to the work, Missy falls hard for Tommy and then falls out of favor with the church. Trapped in a cycle of relationship abuse, Missy's world is falling apart until Feeney, a reformed stick-up man turned evangelist, shows her real love. But when tragedy strikes, Missy is torn between the truth that could jeopardize everything she loves or a lie that could be her damnation. These three best friends drift away from each other and the church, but come back together through spiritual downfall, relationship crises, drug addiction, and even murder. Can the crew survive the drama involved in That Church Life? That Church Life by Teresa B. Howell.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be a mess. I wonder, we're back on the line with Teresa B. Howell for the church life. Is it a mess? It sounds like a mess.
It's really a mess. I will not tell a lie. It is really a mess.
I was going to say before we get into a little bit about the characters that you've let us hear about so far, with the online churches, you find those celebrity pastors and stuff who, I mean, I was a huge fan of Jamal Bryant, and he's been caught up in so many things where I had to step back, and that's just me. Now, I still got love and light for him, but I'm not a follower like I used to be, because he is human. However, some things just like you get to doing too much. I can't, you know, that's just me. I'm just being real on the line, because we can shine on here and we can't take anything from the man. It's just the fact that he falls into the description of something that I was witness to, you know?
Yeah. And you find that in a lot of churches.
Tommy
too.
Or, now you got two guys here. You got Tommy. Is he more like a celebrity? Like, can you talk about the characters real quick before we go? Because we have about 8 minutes left to the show.
Oh, okay, cool. Tommy is the musician, actually. He's very gifted, talented, but he is a ladies' man. He's very, very attractive. He's the light-skinned, brown eyes, curly hair dude that everybody's looking at on the organ. And he causes a lot of drama. He's very demanding. When he wants it, he wants it. So that's the summary of Tommy. And he's a mess. A hot mess.
Okay. All right. So whatever else you want to talk about the book, you have about, I'm going to say about 6 minutes to do so.
Okay. We got Missy. She is the main character. You got Natalia that we talked about. She's the snappy, always with attitude, churchgoer. And then you have Michelle, who is the calm, rational one. But she has a lot of behind-the-scenes things going on with her that no one knows about yet. That'll be in part two. There is a part two coming out. It should be out in, like, the next 2 months or so. And going on a book tour. Have hit several cities. I think it's eight in all so far, trying to get some more cities on the West Coast. And the book is moving. Been on a couple of been on television and Barnes & Noble and all these different places to sell the book. So it's been a wonderful journey. And if anyone wants to purchase a book or reach me, I have a website. It's TeresaBHowell.com. My email address is info@TeresaBHowell.com. I can be found on Facebook, Teresa B. Howell. I have an author page as well, Twitter, Teresa W-I-V, and then Instagram, Teresa Howell 1. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought I'd squeeze it in since I only got a few minutes.
Well, you definitely have to put that in. Okay. Well, now that you've written something in this category, have you marketed your book amongst your church community, or have you gone to other churches to tell them about that church life?
Oh, yeah, of course. The first couple of weeks, it was basically family, friends, and church members, and sold a lot of books real easy because, you know, people want to know. They like the juicy church side of things, so it was easy sell for a lot of the church members. I'm trying to incorporate some more clubs, some book clubs that are in churches. A couple of them, they really don't like the ending because there is a scene that I can't give away the book that is not liked by certain churchgoers. So it all depends on the particular church and if they view it as something serious or if they view it as something, you know, comical or however they take it. So, but it's spreading. The word has gone out.
Have you received any inquiries? Like, girl, are you talking about me? I know that's me. As far as characters in the book.
I did. I had a couple of church members that was like, you didn't write about me, did you? Or I've even had a couple of church members that said, is that you? Is that character you? But I cannot tell. It's probably about maybe five people in each character put into one.
Okay. Who would you say are your favorite characters or character in this first novel?
It would definitely be Natalia because she likes to pop her lips and pop her gum, and she speaks her mind, and she does not let anybody in the church bother her. I like her a lot because she doesn't take anybody's mess.
How does your family receive your new venture in writing?
Well, I think they took it very well. We didn't expect all of this, the touring and the notoriety so soon after the book came out, but it just happened so fast that everybody kind of jumped on board and supported me. So I haven't had any problems with, you know, family members like, you know, who she thinks she is now. They're all pretty much on my side and you know, kind of encouraged me to keep going and keep going from city to city to distribute the book. So especially my family, as far as my husband and my children, they have been very supportive.
That's what we like to hear. Now, as far as your tour goes, where are some of the places you've as well? Can you talk about upcoming tour dates before we go?
Yeah, so I have had some engagements in Charlotte. I had a book signing at a Barnes & Noble in Durham. I've been to Short Pump, Virginia for a Barnes & Noble there, and also Virginia Good Morning, a TV show there. I just came from Boston recently. How could I forget that? Just 2 weeks ago. And I had a Fugle Bookstore promoted me there and had a couple of promotions going on there. I'm about to go to Atlanta 556 this coming weekend. Scheduled to go to Arkansas, Shreveport, Portsmouth, Virginia, Portsmouth, that's how you say it, Virginia, Chesapeake. Engagement in Pennsylvania is being scheduled, trying to get to Florida. And there was one other city that I'm missing. Oh, Chicago. Chicago's supposed to be in a couple of weeks on the end of October.
Okay. We did have a caller or two, but the page froze. So we couldn't get them in. So shout out to whoever called in for Teresa. You could try to call in again. The page is clear. Real quick before she goes, numbers 713-955-0635. Right now we want you, Teresa, in the next minute, if you could give some shout-outs to everybody who supported you and anybody you want to put some shine on before we go.
Shout-out to Miss Heather Butler. She's my agent. Vivian, who is my PR person. My cousin, Andre Minkins, he is the producer of that. He's making the book into a play, and it'll be in production between March and June. He's writing it right now as we speak. Shout out to my family, of course. Shout out to the good Lord. Shout out to Mount Olive Holy Church in Durham, North Carolina, and all the members there. And I've had so many supporters. All my authors under Walking in Victory Publishing. Shout out to you. And I'll think of somebody soon. Daddy, hey, my sisters, hi. So I think I've pretty much covered everyone. I hope I haven't forgotten anyone. Please forgive me if I have.
Well, you have a new book coming out soon to follow up with this one. So maybe you could stop by and come back and talk to us.
Yeah, most definitely. It should be ready within the next 2 months or so, I'm assuming. So I'm hoping before the end of the year we can start for round two.
Okay. All right, Teresa, it's been a real pleasure having you on for That Church Life. And I want to thank you for coming to Korean City Class to talk all about that.
I appreciate that you had me on your show. Thank you so much.
We're going to let you go. We're going to go on up out of here, and we'll get back to you next time on Korean City.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. She was really nice. I like her. She is not afraid to tell the deets. You know, when you get to church these days, you gotta really pay attention, you know. It's interesting. This is your girl, Teresa Ray Butler. I'm going to get on up out of here, and I will see you next time. Now, remember, no matter what you do, no matter what your talent, there's always enough room for you to shine on Cream City, and we're the home of the $5 ad. All right. Have a good weekend. Talk to y'all tomorrow.
The Church Gal crew is leading the way to salvation at Mount Zion Holiness Church. Feisty Natalia Freeman is the head of the crew, rebellious and outspoken. She has no problems challenging the church status quo. Years later, however, her loss of faith will tragically impact her life. Michelle Hanks, a country girl from a hardworking farm family, is the peacemaker and soul of the crew. Although struggling with self-confidence, she is wise beyond her years and can't wait to escape the farm life and find success, even if it costs her soul. Missy Jones, the heart of the crew, has the face of an angel and a voice sent from heaven. a pastor's daughter raised in the church, Missy loves the ministry and her place in it. But the flesh is tempting, especially when it comes in the form of sexy church musician and Mount Zion playboy, Tommy. In spite of her dedication to the work, Missy falls hard for Tommy and then falls out of favor with the church. Trapped in a cycle of relationship abuse, Missy's world is falling apart. Until Beanie, a reformed stick-up man to evangelist, shows her real love. But when tragedy strikes, Missy is torn between the truth that could jeopardize everything she loves, or a lie that could be her damnation. These three best friends drift away from each other and the church, but come back together through spiritual downfall, relationship crises, drug addiction, and even murder. Can the crew survive the drama involved in That Church Life? That Church Life by Teresa B. Howell.